You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
All right. Welcome back, folks. How we doing?
I like that little pause.
It's like this long delay. I'm like, am I in the wrong place here? This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and sitting across the street, the state from me is my awesome co-host, Greg Bach. Dom Lee is working the board in Madison, our beautiful state's capital that we just talked about at the end of hour number one. If you're interested, or if you missed hour number one, folks, kindly go to civicmedia.us where you can listen to all our shows in podcast form if you missed something kind of cool. And that was a fun hour, guys.
Yeah. Enjoyed
really
it.
Good. I enjoyed it too.
Am I crazy, or was that just a downright? That's more fun than you should have on a Tuesday, even if you're having tacos.
Even if
Dom,
Dom Lee, I'm talking.
I just
can't wait, man. My mouth is watering. I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness. We've got another great hour lined up here for you guys.
We do.
Rob Thomas will be here, Madison film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Love talking to Rob. We're going to talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival a little bit and a cool article he wrote on CityCast, and we'll jump into some Oscar talk after the news. I love hearing Rob's analysis of events like that because he just weighs in, and it's always great. And you can check out his movie reviews at his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. So we've got that, and lots to get to, Greg.
And if you entered into the Break into Spring multi-state text-to-win contest last hour, good job. If you missed out, do not worry. You have one more chance at 7 p.m., so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to Civic Media. Listen for that keyword. Get out that app. And if you, and by the way, if you text it in during the 5 o'clock hour, you can text in again at 7. It's amazing. 7 chances a day. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, stay tuned even when we're done because you'll have another chance to enter to win $200 and a grand prize drawing of a mattress set from Verlo. So just hang with us. We're having a good time. I don't have tacos. Dom didn't bring any tacos for anybody. Those are all at Castle Domington, apparently, but it's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's fine. I'm fine.
So you're the chef in your house, Dom? Is that how that works?
Yes.
You live with your girlfriend, right?
I don't. I live with a roommate right now, but it's still true. I'm still the chef, and he needs to start making some stuff. You know, I haven't really outright told him that.
Does he eat when you make food, or is it like you're making your dinner? Dude has to make his own dinner. How does that work out?
It's normally like I usually like, hey, I'm making, for example, tacos today. You know, I'm making tacos. You want some? That's kind of how it goes. And it goes, it's like that pretty much 5 of the 7 days of the week. Yeah. So, hey, roommate, you know, do better.
Does he pitch in more rent because of that? I would probably stick it to him monetarily.
No, he does not. Okay. But he does the dishes more. So, you know, he takes the good with the bad. So.
I don't know if I like this. I feel like every once in a while you throw in some money, like, hey, man, you know, here's some dinner money. Like, there you go.
Tacos. It's not like you're giving them a hot pocket. I mean, there's takes some effort to get the tacos going.
Even hot pockets are expensive nowadays.
They're
expensive nowadays.
And
Pop-Tarts. There you go. Pop-Tarts.
Hey, what do you say we remind people of the question of the day?
I think I need to be reminded as well because I forgot. I'm just kidding. I didn't.
No.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, what is your favorite and least favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day? Happy St. Patrick's Day again, by the way, folks. Hope you're having a great one. But tell us what you like about it or what you don't like about it. You can share that on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app, which is very easy to do, as you know. Or if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, drop us a stream comment. We'll read it on the radio. That is our vow to you.
We'll start right with a live stream comment. Stacy Sue Listening on the live stream says favorites are corned beef, St. Patty's Day parade with bagpipes, also turning the river green in Chicago. Whoop.
Was that my stomach again?
That was your stomach again.
Must've been the stomach, yeah.
Thinking about Dom's tacos.
Thank you very much, Stacy, for getting in touch with us. We really appreciate you. Let's see here. Dave on the live stream says, worst thing, COVID started on March 17th.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's right.
Yeah, about that. That's,
what a reminder.
That was a bad one. Yeah.
That was a bad one. On the social media, Amanda, our favorite Amanda, the social media queen goddess, the one who procures all of this stuff for us, she says, bothers me greatly his name wasn't Patrick. He wasn't Irish and wore blue, not green. Forget the saint. Just celebrate being Irish. Well, there you go.
Wow. She's really sticking to the Irish there, I think.
I mean, well, you kind of wanted to do the same thing. I'm not going to lie there, Pete Schwabba. So here's the deal, everybody. I was going to wait until now to bring this up. So every day we have a chat on the show, and we talk about what we should talk about. And one of the things we always talk about in the morning, usually earlier in the morning, is what is the question of the day? And Pete, do you want to tell the people what your original version of this question was?
Yeah, this is, I'm not proud of this, but I will share this because I feel like I had, you know, license to say this because I am more than half Irish.
Okay.
Somewhere all between right. 50 and 70%. So I said, what was your favorite and least favorite thing about the Irish?
And I said, yeah. And I said, probably not a good idea to just throw that out there to allow people to say possibly really horrible things about Irish people. Also, while trying to probably be funny, too. So,
well, but I did ask for people's opinions on that. I was being sensitive, and I thought, you know, I would never say that about like another ethnicity that I wasn't part of. Like, I felt like I could kind of criticize the Irish.
But
as
again,
well.
You can criticize the Irish, but how do you feel if someone was just like, I don't like the Irish because they smell and they invaded America? You wouldn't like that, would you? Someone could have said that.
If they said that, I would probably take issue. But if someone said, I don't like the Irish, for some other reason, I might not even, I'd just be like, all right, whatever, you're generalizing, you know, it's kind of how I roll. But we went in a different way. I think that's radio co-hosts do. They treat each other fairly. Greg,
that's true. It's very fair. It's very fair. It's very, very fair. Tyler in Columbia County listening on WMDX says, riding Metro in Chicago is an experience for St. Patrick's Day, a good one-time experience for me. Tyler, I did the same thing. I didn't ride the Metro, but one night I found myself with no show. Wife was out of town. I thought to myself, I'll go see a comedy show in Chicago on St. Patrick's Day because I thought they celebrated the same way they do in Milwaukee, which is over like 3 weekends. There's a parade. There is like the celebration the week of, and then there is a citywide bar hop. So I was like, all right, cool. I went, pandemonium does not properly describe what I tried to drive through in Chicago on March the 17th, 2018. It was a full blown nightmare. I was so mad. And then the show got canceled because comics were stuck in traffic and or drunk.
See, I loved Chicago St. Patrick's Day when I was like in college and in my 20s. After that, no thanks. I'll just sit home and watch, an
The Departed.
Yeah, or the Heroes of Innocent or whatever it is. here we got a text from Cam who says, Dom, he's giving you a taco recipe, Dom.
Did you see that, Cam?
Dom, if you need any recipes, let me know. My partner and I cook a lot too. Hundreds of different dishes. Ooh. That's a good one. Hundreds. That's a lot too.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. We've got, this is from, my margins are all messed up here. Sorry.
While you're looking, Jack from Merrimack wrote back into us. He called and the call dropped. He wanted to say his buddy's St. Patrick's Day gig. He used to sing an absolute hilarious ballad about seven old ladies stuck in the lavatory. Another song for you to look up. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jack. We really appreciate that.
Awesome, Jack. This is from the 608. Someday DJL, I think that's Dom Lee, will recall his time.
Wow.
Will recall his time with Uncles Pete and Greg, hopefully as an important and valuable experience, and then says corned beef and cabbage It's his favorite thing about it.
That's me and Pete. Pete's a corned beef. I'm cabbage. How you doing?
That's great. Yeah.
Matt and Eau Claire listening in. He says the Chicago River, Redwood Forest, Grand Canyon, Green River, must see in person and in that order. So I guess that, okay, I've seen two of those things.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Some great comments so far. I'm having issues with my text line here, so I'm scooching through these.
Pete in New London listening on WISS said, I live in New London and we all go out here for St. Patrick's Day. We changed the town name to New Dublin and have a parade this Saturday after. It's just a huge drinking fest, and I'm with you on The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy being a great movie, Greg. Thank you very much, Peter. And if you see my Uncle Charlie Bach in New London, tell him his nephew says hi.
We both got family in New London, Greg. My wife's mm-hmm. family lives there, and they're part of this fantastic Irish or St. Patrick's Day parade they have there. It's a very, they really do St. Patrick's mm-hmm. Correctly. So I've been there a couple times, and it's great fun in New London on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Brett in Brown Deer listening on WAUK says, my least favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day was throwing up green beer. Did that once in 1981. Never drank it again. Makes sense. let's see here. Mike on the social media says, I hate corned beef and cabbage. I've only had it once, and that was too many times. What I like? I like that everyone is Irish for a day and will immerse themselves in it. I think if we did that for other ethnic type celebrations, we would have a better understanding of cultures, and we'd be less apt to have prejudice. I completely agree, Mike. I love that take. Yes, more of that.
I love it. That's a great one, too. And then, Dom, you texted in. You must have had something to say to us that was related to the question of the night.
I was like, no, he was telling us to turn off our computers.
I know. I was just having fun with it.
I see. You had a little joke that was all for Pete.
Yeah, no, go by all means. Step on the punchline. We have so many keywords on the text line, which is so fantastic. So if I miss a text tonight or we miss a text tonight, we are sorry, but don't let that stop you from texting. And folks, you still have plenty of time. What is your least or most favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day?
Tim on the social media says drunks are annoying. All right. And Dan says my favorite, drinking copious amounts of tasty green beer. My least favorite, drinking copious amounts of tasty green beer and ending up passed out and semi-nude in my grandma's heated garage. My life sucks. LOL.
Okay. That is Dan Davies, who always says his life sucks. And frankly, based on that text, it sounds like it's pretty fun, except for his grandma who probably...
I feel like if you're putting yourself out there like that, that's not the first or last time your grandmother has discovered you in such a position. So
correct. Stu in the 608 says, assuming I'm Irish because I have red hair and my last name starts with MC.
Yep.
He doesn't know if he's Irish. Okay.
Well, you are today, my friend.
Okay. Yeah.
You are today.
And you probably are every day if you've got the MC. I don't want to generalize, you know, but
if you're MAC, I believe you're Scottish.
Ooh. That's right.
Ooh.
That's true. Roger in Stevens Point says, my oldest daughter was born 32 years ago tonight. Well, thank you, Roger. And
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy Roger's daughter's birthday. That's outstanding. The best thing about St. Patrick's Day for Roger, no question. Brett, did you read this one, Greg? Brett from
yes,
Eau Claire.
I did.
Okay. All right, yeah. I think we're caught up on text. That's fantastic.
We're caught up. We are caught up. And don't keep sending those texts and those live stream comments. Let us know what your favorite or least favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day is. We're going to be coming back with Rob Thomas here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That is my favorite Pogues tune, Greg. Did I do okay? You're the music
you
guy
did
here.
Great. Okay. The great Pogues tune. Are fantastic.
Love the Pogues. And I love our next guest. Not in the big way, but he's a great dude.
Aww.
I love him as much as I can love another man who...
That's great.
He's a friend of mine, right?
That's wonderful.
We're just people here. I don't know if he's Irish or not. We'll get to the bottom of this. But he joins us here periodically to talk about movies. and what's happening in our state's capital, because he is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a phenomenal film critic who reviews movies at his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. So check those out, too. He joins us now over the stream from Madison, our pal, Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, happy St. Paddy's Day, guy. I mean, if you're watching, I'm in the greenest room I could possibly find for the holiday.
Appreciate that.
Is that where you make all the guests wait until you bring them on to the, like, the
right.
party?
It's okay. Into my other bedroom, yeah.
It's good to have you, buddy. You wrote a couple things I wanted to ask you about. The Joe Keery film. Well, you talked to David Koepp, who wrote that film. He's a UW-Madison grad. Have you seen the movie?
I did, yeah. And okay. I passed on it. It was in theaters for like 5 minutes initially. Yeah. Even though I like David Koepp, who, if people know, wrote Jurassic Park. He wrote Black Bag last year. He might be the most famous, prolific screenwriter in Hollywood. Wrote the first Mission Impossible. Has written the new Disclosure Day, the new Spielberg that's coming this summer. But he also makes these little movies kind of in between. And this one, Cold Storage, is based on his first novel. And it's like,
I talked to him.
He's a great guy. And I was really honored he would talk to me for my little Substack. But it's just a gnarly, like, 80s type horror comedy, like Tremors, mm-hmm. Return of the Living Dead. It's like funny, it's scary, it's really gross, but in like a very funny way, not like in an off-putting way. It's about this mm-hmm. like alien virus or fungus that gets into this like a U-Storage facility and starts wreaking havoc. And Joe Keery is really good in it. Liam Neeson, who's on kind of a roll. I mean, he's usually in a movie once every other week, but he's pretty funny as the retired bioterror expert who gets called in. So it just started on VOD, and it's only 90 minutes. I think it's something people would really like.
Yeah, my wife saw it last week, and she loved it.
Oh,
good. We watched the trailer, and I was just like, at first, because Liam Neeson has a movie called Cold Pursuit, which is just taken in
the
snow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not. But like to me, Liam Neeson, and tell me if I'm wrong, is this generation's Charles Bronson. I think that, like... Mm. Yeah. He's got his niche, but also he still does these types of films that are fun. The Naked Gun, there was the one he did. I can't remember the name of it right now. I think it's called Saints and Sinners. It takes place in Ireland. Still has those chops, and he's still great. I like that he has range, but she loved it. She thought it was a really good time. And she said almost the same thing you did. It's like an 80s style of fun and bloody.
Right. And lots of green goo flying everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, I totally agree. And I think for the same reason, you see Liam Neeson, you go, well, I know what that is, and it's going to be on, you know, TNT in 2 months or something like that. So, yeah, I think people should check it out.
You said you passed on it. Does that mean you didn't? But then it kind of sounded like you liked it. Are you?
Well, it was just in, you know, it's one of the movies now. They show up Friday in theaters. If you don't see it, it's gone the next Friday.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. And you know, horror is not usually my thing, and I think again, like Greg said, you know, Liam Neeson, it's like that's not a must watch usually. But yeah, it's a sleeper, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay. You also wrote a piece in CityCast Madison, which everybody should read. It's a great publication.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm a fan, about the Wisconsin Film Festival and some of the highlights you thought were coming up. Can you share those with us?
Yeah. I mean, it's, what's the dates? August. April 9th, 16th.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking as we're getting out of the blizzard here. In Madison, and it's got like a really cool lineup. Like, so I did not know that the guy who wrote John Wick is from Madison, Derek Kolstad. And he has a movie called Normal, which looks like Hot Fuzz set in a small Minnesota town, which is like a great premise where Bob Odenkirk is like the new sheriff. Have you seen the trailer for this one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
I haven't seen it, but he's going to be at the festival. It's like a Saturday night, late night screening. That seems really good. What else is there? There's like Nosferatu, the original, not the one from a couple of years ago, with like a mm-hmm. live score from these like indie musicians. And that just got moved to the Barrymore from like the little theater. So that's going to have a great sound. That's going to be really good. We just talked about Black Bag, the new Steven Soderbergh movie, the Christopher's with Ian McKellen is going to premiere there. I mean, some of these will come back around to the theaters, but a lot of them, this is really your only chance to see him on the big screen. And like the festival is so fun because it's like you go see Cold Storage and it's like there's two people in the theater. It's kind of a drag sometimes, but like, you know, you're going to see like it with like the best possible audience. And then it's also really cool when the filmmaker is there and can talk about it afterwards.
That's something that we talked about too. Like, we talked to Susan Kearns from the Milwaukee Film Festival, is that, you know, when there's these film festivals all over the world that are like fancy ball gowns, you know, high society, it's high stakes, but Wisconsin film festivals are just like fun. There's fun time. There's fun things happening. You have a good time. I feel like folks who come from LA to premiere their movies are probably in for a good time when they come to these film festivals.
Well, they come back, you know, with their films, which is a good sign that they're having a good time. Yeah. There's no high pressure $1 million deals at the Wisconsin Film Festival. They might, you might sell your film for a case of Spotted Cow or something like that.
Which ain't bad. You could do worse.
Yeah. You could do worse. Yeah.
All right, Rob Thomas is here, folks. After the news, we're going to come back and talk about the Oscar broadcast the other night. Very excited to have him here, and we will do all that. I want to see Night of the Living Dead at the Chazen, Rob, on Sunday night. I'm hoping they don't schedule me doing a Q&A somewhere else because I really want to see that. I've never seen it
before. Oh, your life is so hard.
It's not fair, Greg. All right, we will be right back after news, sports, and weather with our guest, Madison film critic Rob Thomas. This is Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and sitting across the state from me is Greg Bach. You've got the Civic Media Network. It's great to have you here, folks, on this Tuesday. You can still get in on the fun. What is your favorite or least favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day? Answer the question, and we will read it on the radio. Be part of the show. It's Tuesday, and we are celebrating that by having our friend Rob Thomas here, who reviews movies. He's a Madison-based movie critic, and he also is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. He joins us on the stream from Madison. So, Rob, let's jump in. The Oscars. I assume you watched.
I did.
Overall thoughts?
I thought it was good. I mean, I don't think it was the most entertaining one I've ever seen. But in general, I liked Conan, and I liked most of the winners. A couple of surprises. A couple of nice surprises.
What was your surprise?
I was actually very pleasantly surprised that Michael B. Jordan won for Best Actor. I did think Timothée Chalamet was going to hold on to it despite all the ballet opera stuff and people just in general kind of getting sick of him, I think. I thought that was a fantastic moment. He was so genuine, you know, from the moment they said his name and his speech. And honestly, he deserves it. I mean, he was playing two incredible performances in Sinners. And that was really nice. I had friends telling me, he's going to win. I was like, I don't think so. But I was very, very happy to see that.
Was that like who you would have thought Timothée Chalamet, if somebody else won, you thought it would have been him? I don't know what it is about him, Rob, but I don't really like him. And it's not anything he's
I love
done.
Him. I love him. But like the character Marty Supreme is annoying. And, you know, and I think he was the way he promoted it, the movie, he was kind of brought out his most annoying side in some way. And then I think kind of realized, this is maybe actually hurting my chances of winning an Oscar. He's also 30. Like he's got a lot of career in front of him. And so, So I think people are fine with saying, I mean, looking at Michael B. Jordan, who's actually, you know, been in acting since what, The Wire, over 20 years ago. And then through Friday Night Lights and Black Panther and, you know, just a great career already, even though he's still fairly young. I think people felt very good about awarding him that.
I think what's interesting for me personally is that, like, we talked about this with Matt Miller last week, and I felt like, I think one of the, you know, the whole ballet, because Matt Miller actually put into context the fact that he didn't really say ballet and opera are terrible. He said out loud what Timothée Chalamet was saying with regard to his concern for film, and I get that. I don't know if that was so much the problem as the fact that his comments and actions at other award ceremonies, this need to want to win these and almost feel like I have to do this. If I don't do this, I want this. It's like, yes, I know you want to win this. It's fine. Yes, be driven. That's good. But sometimes you got to keep those thoughts inside. It doesn't make you look good when you make comments about things, especially awards. You're going to make the overlords mad, and they're not going to give you what you want until you're like 50 and they finally like throw it at you because they're like, it's his turn.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he approached it almost like an athlete would, like that kind of drive. And that's admirable. But also, I think in the arts, maybe it doesn't play quite as well or something like that. But yeah, and I think also that's a big part of it is like when you're that young, you think, oh, we'll give it to him in 20 years when he does, you know, Marty Supreme 3 or something like that.
It's funny you bring it because of all the movies he's been, because this is his second nomination, I believe, or.
He was nominated last year for Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
for
was it Bob before Dylan. That? Yeah. I can't remember, but yeah.
But, I mean, I know that apparently the Safdie, well, they're not together. Like, the Safdie directors, whether it's Josh or Benny, whomever you're talking about at the moment, they can do no wrong in the world, and their movies are good, and A24 is A24.
Right. But
when I watched that trailer, because I'd heard people talking about it, and I didn't see the trailer until, like, a week and a half ago, I got done with it, and I turned to my wife, and I said, did I just watch an SNL sketch? Because that's what this feels like. This feels like an SNL sketch. This doesn't feel like a real movie. It looks like something they wrote because it looks 10 kinds of ridiculous. And this is the big award. Like, this is what's being nominated. Like, there's a part of me that also says, okay, if a movie has a certain actor in it, they then just automatically get, like, F1. Why was F1 nominated at all? Sorry, I'm getting into my place here. I'm sorry.
No, I think I can see that you're saying, like, are we going to give it to the ping pong guy, our highest honor? I love that movie, Marty Supreme, and, you know, there's so much more going on there besides the ping pong, although the ping pong is actually kind of awesome. But it's not, like, One Battle is, like, a much more weighty movie, even though I think it's a lot of fun in spots. Same with Sinners, right? There's a lot going on there. So that might have been a factor. But I think it is kind of like what you're saying. He just kind of wore thin on a lot of people over the course of, or like, these campaign seasons are so long. I mean, it's mid-March and they started doing awards in like November, December. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we get a nice 2-week break and then award season starts up again.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting, Rob, we've talked before about Sinners versus One Battle After Another. And I almost feel like I wish they were out in separate years. Because I thought, I've enjoyed One Battle After Another a little bit more than Sinners, but I thought Sinners was a masterpiece on a few levels. And I just watched both of those films in the last 2 days. Is that fair to say, like, Sinners could have won a different year, but it was just up against another masterpiece by Paul Thomas Anderson, who also hadn't won an Oscar before the other night?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that's true. They were my 1-2. Best of the year list as well. Mm-hmm. Sinners just behind One Battle. And yeah, in a weaker year for sure, Sinners would have won. It seemed like there were a lot of really good films. And, you know, the other thing is, I think getting back to the reasons people have, I think people just thought it was Paul Thomas Anderson's time. He's never won an Oscar even for writing. Mm-hmm. And he's made so many good movies over really 30 years, I think, or almost 30 years was his first one, Hard Eight. So, you know, he's in his mid-50s and he's obviously really vital, but like, this was the movie that everyone was like, okay, we're going to finally honor him. And that's tough to beat, especially when Ryan Coogler is younger and has also made a lot of great movies, but obviously has more road ahead of him to make a lot more and can pretty much do whatever he wants now. So,
I mean, that's the thing too, is I thought, is like, between him and his wife now, like, he has made so much money for these studios, and he's got so much critical acclaim, not just popular acclaim, like he and his wife as a production team, because they produce together. I mean, they can go the way of building their own studio at one point. I just feel, I see no end in sight with their creativity, but also their business acumen is going to be very, very much a part of their journey. But, and something that you talked about as well as other people when we talk about film is this notion of it's their time, it's, you know, they haven't won it, like, and we've seen examples throughout the years, and one I bring up is now is, like, you know, Delroy Lindo has been acting for like 50 years and he's been around for a long time, and the fact that, you know, Sean Penn got the best, his third Academy Award, I mean, I, to me, like, that notion of, like, well, it's his time, it's like, well, and I'm not saying tell me the answer, but like, it was Paul Thomas Anderson's time, but it wasn't Delroy's time. It wasn't, you know, it was Michael B. Jordan has been acting for a long time, but he's 39. Timothy Chalamet is 30. Right. Like, it just feels like every way to explain why Oscars are given out, there's always someone at that same ceremony where, like, but what about that person?
Yeah.
Why, like, why didn't they get it then? Or why did they get it? You know, it's a very weird system. It's hard to wrap your brain around.
Yeah. I mean, because it's people voting and people have a lot of different, you know, ideas and motives going in. You know, and that was honestly Sean Penn winning was a real surprise to me. His third one. I mean, I think he's great in One Battle, but like that whole category was really stacked with Delroy Lindo, Stellan Skarsgård. I thought Jacob Elordi was amazing in Frankenstein. Benicio Del Toro was also great in One Battle. Like that was my favorite performance in the film. So, but Sean Penn was maybe the showiest, but the guy didn't even show up at the ceremony, probably because you couldn't smoke in the auditorium.
And, he was in the Ukraine.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was hanging with Zelensky. And it's interesting because I think Sean Penn deserved it. He took a lot big swings with that. That could have come across as caricaturish. He crushed it. And the fact that he's in the same category with Benicio Del Toro, they're both supporting actors, but Sean Penn stole that movie, so to speak, from a supporting actor standpoint. Like,
sure.
I just thought he was, and Delroy Lindo is great in a lot of stuff. I didn't think his performance compared to Sean Penn's, though, in Sinners. He was great, but Sean Penn just put himself out there. It worked. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
I think with all the comedy that was happening, of all the written jokes that happened that night, the best line was from Kieran Culkin when he says, "I will accept on behalf of Sean Penn, who couldn't be here, or probably doesn't want to be here."
I'm like, yeah, I love that. I mean, so much. Yeah.
Just so, so good. Yeah. I mean, you said it too, like it was, and I apologize to Pete and Dom for repeating what I said last week, but, or yesterday, because today is Tuesday, yesterday is Monday. My goodness, time's a construct. The fact that, like, last year, you know, Conan's first year happened. Everyone was very excited. The L.A. fires were going on. People need everyone, not just the people at home, but, like, celebrities who lost their homes. Everyone needed a time to come together, and that's what I felt like that moment was. And so it was like this knockout performance all throughout the evening. But last night I felt like we were back to the old days of, here is a world-class comedian doing his best to entertain the people in the room and the people watching, and you have a room full of stuffy suits and actors who don't know how to laugh at themselves, and therefore the jokes did not hit as well as they should have, because there were phenomenal jokes in there, and you could just hear that.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it was, you know, I think that's a tough room, I think, for a comedian to as you say, to be trying to, you know, make the people in the room laugh because that's, you know, it sounds better. And then also try and keep people at home entertained, so you're not too inside with your jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was funny. I liked sort of the running gag about how old the Oscars are and the changes with like the bit with the YouTube ads with Jane Lynch interrupting and stuff. So I thought it was good. I mean, I was just more struck by like how the most famous people in the world can't seem to read a teleprompter and talk like the Sean or the Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr. thing was like brutal. A train wreck. And like, we're supposed to be excited for the new Avengers movie. And they can't even they can't even bring like 10% of their charisma to the stage for that. Or I was just really surprised by that. I mean,
they might have been drunk too, though.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's a party. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Although Robert Downey Jr. probably should. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. Me. True. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. We have about a minute, Rob. What were your thoughts on the Rob Reiner tribute?
I thought it was really good. I thought they did. Unfortunately, there's so many people we lost last year. That was the problem, the tragedy, because you had Robert Redford and Rob Reiner and Diane Keaton, and then, of course, Robert Duvall and, like, you know, Catherine O'Hara. It was really tough, but I really liked how they did that with all the people from Rob Reiner's past movies.
And oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was excellent.
Cary Elwes, and, yeah, it was really well done. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. That moment set me. I was like that when they all turned around, I gotta stop. I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
That was...
Awesome stuff, buddy. As always, thanks for joining us, and I will look forward to seeing you at the Wisconsin Film Festival and talking to you again on the show in a few weeks, hopefully.
Great. Great to see you guys.
All right, you too, Rob. That's Rob Thomas. Check out the CityCast Madison newsletter and go to his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, and read some really outstanding movie reviews. All right, we are coming back. Greg, you know what we're coming back? You know what we call this now?
What do we call it?
The Nightcap.
Ooh.
Coming up next on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. My name is Greg Bach. Sitting across the state with me is Pete Schwabe here on the Civic Media Network. You want to be part of the conversation, call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform. We still call Twitter. We have a fantastic show for you tomorrow. We'll be talking to an Iranian-American journalist and author to talk about the war. To talk about the war in Iran, he is his name is Houman Majd. He is going to be here talking about his books as well as just his experience as an Iranian American and his reportings. And we're probably going to get some very frank discussion on the Iran war. And I'm going to be interested to hear maybe his take on the news we spoke about, Mr. Joe Kent, earlier in the show, leaving the Trump administration because he doesn't believe this is a legitimate effort to create change. So, and then we'll also be speaking to actress Winter Williams and director Matthew Brown to talk about their studio called In the Pine Studio. It's a Midwest film studio, which is, I think, is a great thing. I'm sure, Pete, that's pretty cool. A movie studio right here in the Midwest. That's excellent.
They're in the Midwest and they're in mid Wisconsin. They're in Stevens Point, and it's a great, I'm very anxious to talk about them to find out how that's going, especially hopefully they will benefit from the new incentives too. So yeah, their timing might be great.
That's all going to be for you tomorrow. We're going to be right back here, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And stick around, because in the 7 o'clock hour today, you'll have another chance to text in a keyword for the Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest, where you could win $200 today and get entered in for a new mattress set from Verlo. Then everything starts again tomorrow with 7 more chances to enter. Good luck. Stick around for that keyword in the 7 o'clock hour here on Civic Media. Now it's time, Pete, to get to this new thing we're doing here.
Yeah, it's called the Nightcap.
There
Dom,
it is.
Do we have a... We don't have that yet, do we?
Oh, I thought we did. Okay, my apologies. That's on me. I thought we had some sort of...
Soon to come.
Okay. All right. Well, the Nightcap is where we just wrap up the evening show and just kind of, I would say, pat ourselves on the back, because we live in a world where, you know, not everyone's just walking around saying, hey, good job, buddy. This is where we say, hey, good job, buddy.
They're not forthright with their compliments, as they...
Exactly. They keep their compliments to themselves, which just hurts, but... I thought it was a very, very good show. I had a good time. What about you, Pete?
Great guests. It was really fun talking to Rob and Mace and getting a weather update, talking some movies and Oscars and upcoming events in Madison, reading your texts. We've got a few texts here left. We got Cam who says, a nightcap is also using marijuana right before bed to conclude the night.
Okay, good. Noted. There
he
we
just
are.
Made himself susceptible to a citizen's arrest, but Cam doesn't seem concerned about that. Our pal Chris Casper in Madison says, it's not people, referring to the Oscars, it's famous people giving other famous people awards. The whole thing is gross. I'm guessing Chris did not watch.
I disagree with that statement. I'm not huge on awards. Like, I think it's a big, like, whatever, you know, fine, you guys. But it's not I don't think it's just famous people. I mean, Pete, you know that industry. It's a lot of people behind the scenes who also vote. They're not famous. They're not rich. They're just people who work in an industry they love, and it's their chance to voice their opinion.
It's overall a great thing. I understand why people criticize award shows or the Oscars, because that is the perception. But you're right, Greg. It's people behind the scenes, caterers, set designers, everybody. The amount of work and labor put into effect just from the Oscars broadcast alone is incredible. And my feeling, I used to feel like I didn't like award shows either, but I feel like anything in this day and age that celebrates the arts, and in my case, particularly movies, because I love movies, I am all for. That's why when Timothy Chalamet, even if he was misinterpreted, don't rip another art form. These are beautiful things that have been around. We need them desperately. So I'm all for award shows and selling anybody who puts themselves out there creatively.
Janet in Madison listening on WMDX says Timothée Chalamet has been nominated 3 times so far. First for Call Me By My Name, then A Complete Unknown, and then this year for Marty Supreme. He will get an Academy Award someday. He will. And it might not be when he wants it. It might only be one his entire career. But guess what? Winning one Oscar, you're still way up on like billions of people.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Did we get Tyler's text, Riding Metro? We read that, yeah, right.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did indeed.
Okay, yep. I think we have one more social media text here. Donna Marie says her favorite thing about St. Patrick's Day is drinking and singing. So there you go. That's there a fine answer.
I went out for, well, today is St. Patrick's Day. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to get my dog. I'm going to pet her. I'm going to go home. But I guess we celebrated this past weekend by having a Bloody Mary on Saturday morning like we always do. That was my celebration.
A non-alcoholic beer tonight, Greg, and I'm going to celebrate Dom's tacos. He's going to feed his roommate as he does a little too often, it sounds like. But and I'm going to celebrate both of you. It was fun celebrating St. Patrick's Day with two swell guys.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
That's just... You're too nice for us.
I'm going to have a whiskey with my taco tonight. How about that?
Are you old enough?
Yeah.
Shots fired, baby. Here's the thing, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, that was funny. Ha ha, I get it. But Dom is a badass. And I have seen him take down a guy twice his size at Paul's one night.
It's the truth.
Remember that time that Casper lipped off to you and you took him down because he hated the Oscars?
Casper, don't come into this room right now, okay? I promise.
Yeah. Oh, is he there tonight?
He might be.
You're trying to start stuff from like miles away, Pete, right now. My goodness. All right. With that being said, on behalf of Pete, I'm going to thank Dominic. I want to thank Tucker. I want to thank engineering and traffic. Without them, we are talking into microphones that do not work. Everyone who texted, called in, everyone who put a comment on the live stream, participated, entered into the contest. Without you, there is absolutely no us. We really, really would like to thank you for being a part of this. Remember, tomorrow we're talking to Houman Majd, an Iranian-American journalist, as well as actress Winter Williams and director Matthew Brown. So don't go anywhere. Come on back for the show tomorrow. Stick around for the keyword at 7 p.m. for the Break into Spring Text to Win contest. Good luck to you on that. We will talk to you later. Have a great night. Stay safe. Stay warm. Pete, sign him off.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody, and good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.